The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 21 degrees and partly cloudy at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Una Barrett for Concordia News, and here are today's headlines. Outrage over a video of a police takedown. A freeze on enrollment at Anglophone CEGEPS. Today's COVID new cases. Outraged today over a video showing a Montreal police officer who appears to be kneeling on the neck of a suspect. We're here with Zwandeli Poncana. Can you describe the situation that took place in the video?
The video shows a police intervention taking place at a street corner of a Villeray neighborhood. A young black man is seen to be physically restrained by two SPVM officers, with one with their neck on the suspect. The young man is heard screaming loudly.
What has been the reaction from the CPVM and from the city?
The SPVM have said they are currently conducting an investigation into the video and won't provide any further comment until the investigation is complete. After seeing the video, Mayor Valerie Plante has described it as disturbing and that it reaffirms the need for police body cameras. Plante also mentioned in passing that her administration has invested more than $2 million to support community organizations that do work to prevent violence amongst youth, with an added $500,000 announced by the Quebec to support youth crime prevention projects.
Are the measures going far enough? What has been overall contentions for the community and from the opposition?
Well, Franz Benjamin, a Liberal MP, has criticized the police's actions in the video and has called them outrageous, especially considering the lack of resistance shown by the detained youth. Benjamin, together with many community members, are suggesting the situation points to an incident of stigmatization towards black youth in the city. Many community members are also likening the situation to the George Floyd incidents, which took place last year in the United States. Robert Frank, a political analyst, says that he has been analyzing the SPVM for decades and has seen a clear bias towards visible minorities in incidents of violent police intervention. According to a 2019 report, the police do street checks of people of color at a disproportionately higher rate than they do for white people. The neighborhood of Villeray was also in the news earlier this year when a man of color was allegedly racially profiled for wearing a red coat. For that incident, the man's lawyer shared that they would be filing an ethics complaint with the Quebec Human Rights Commission. Though community organizations have not yet issued a comment for this recent incident of police brutality, various organizations in the city, such as Black Lives Matter Montreal and the Native Women's Shelter, do not think police body cameras go far enough to prevent what they see as police racial bias. They have suggested that funds should be divested from police departments and reallocated to community services like health and education.
Quebec is adding 22,000 places will be added to Francophone Cégep between over the next 10 years. But at the same time, the province is freezing the number of places in Anglo Cégeps. Christine Baudouin gathered reaction to the move today.
The hike in places allocated to French Cégeps is intended to offer a more accurate portrayal of the reality of languages in the province and to respond to students' needs. However, for Jade Cloutieras, an 18-year-old Cégep student of French descent, being an adult should mean being able to choose the language in which she obtains her education.
Like, we're still in a bilingual country and you should have access to both languages even if you're French descent.
Cloutieras adds that access to English Cégeps is an opportunity for Francophones to improve their country's second official language, as not all French speakers want to stay in Quebec. Robert Frank, political analyst, says that being able to speak English is essential for financial accomplishment.
Successful business people need English language skills in order to be able to thrive.
According to Frank, What is meant to help the French population in Quebec is actually doing them a disservice.
It doesn't really do a lot for French-speaking Quebecers, and in many ways, it injures those Quebecers.
Christine Baudouin, Concordia News, Rouyn-Noranda.
Air Canada operates today its first non-stop service between Montreal and Cairo. From today, 3 flights per week provide a new gateway to Africa from North America. The airline calls it the latest step in trying to rebuild its network following the COVID shutdown. Since the start of the vaccination campaign, which vaccine should people take has been a hot topic, there's been mixed indication coming from various sources, leaving the population to decide what it should do. The latest chapter in this saga came this week, with the main question being, should people who receive AstraZeneca as a first dose switch to another vaccine for their second dose or not? We join Yannick Lepage live at the walk-in vaccination clinic at Dollar Saint-Laurent Sports Center in La Salle. Yannick, what is the situation like on location?
You know, there's a lot of waiting and not everyone can get in. Here's what people had to say about that.
I've been here 5 times this week. This is the only day I could get in.
I'm leaving because they only have one left. Yep. And we're 2.
Yannick, the confusion happens at the minister changed direction yesterday.
Yeah, so basically what happened is that yesterday morning, the Minister of Health and Social Services, Christian Dubé, said that those who want a second dose of AstraZeneca will be able to receive it. However, he added that people who receive a first dose of AstraZeneca should not necessarily take a second dose of a RN vaccine, such as a Pfizer or Moderna. The minister also excused himself for the confusion generated by a message published by the government of Quebec that stated the exact contrary. Then yesterday evening, the National Advisory Committee on Immunization released a statement saying that, according to most recent evidence, people should prioritize an RRN vaccine as their second dose, since it seems like it's more effective and it's safer, there's less chances of thrombosis, leaving the population essentially to choose for themselves. Here's what they had to say about that.
Doesn't matter. If I didn't get Pfizer, I was getting one.
I'd like to switch just because that seems to be the recommendation. It's been a bit confusing, but that seems to be the recommendation.
It didn't matter to me. As long as I have the dose, that's what counts.
And what are experts telling us about this?
Well, there's basically 2 schools of thought here. There's the ones who say that it's better to take the second dose as early as possible once you're eligible for it, whatever that vaccine may be. But there's also others who think that the latest research saying that RN vaccine are more effective is relevant and that the public shouldn't be misguided just because the government wants to vaccine people as early as possible and would rather use the AstraZeneca vaccine that they receive.
Thank you, Yannick. The former coalition Avenir Québec, Emine Claire Sanson, announced that she's joining the Conservative Party of Quebec. Emine's state that some CAQ politician and one Liberal member have shown interest and are thinking about joining CPQ. She says that she's not planning to run for re-election in 2022 due to her health problems. New reports about sexual assaults in the metro of Montreal and the recent feminist in Quebec City arouse questions concerning women's security. Is it tied to COVID-19 measure? Delphine Berzil spoke with an expert from CALAC, which helps women who have been assaulted. The organization has noticed an increase in attack during COVID.
There is an increase since the pandemic of sexual assault, sexual violence. So we get more calls. And also with the Me Too movement that started a few years ago, we see that more and more people have the courage to speak out on it and to tell their stories.
Why do you think there's more sexual assault during this pandemic? Why are the main causes of that increase?
I think that social and economical issues that were already there and society are just have just worsened with the pandemic and the fact that people have to stay home. Sometimes their home are not safe, but if everything's closed, where would they go? And the organization helping them, sometimes they are overworked because they're just more demand. So I think it's more of like an exacerbation of societal issues. And people are more in precarious situations, like housing issues, work also issues, because of the pandemic. So all of that makes people more at risk of experiencing sexual violence.
Do you think that there's enough surveillance or support from the city or also organizations, or there should be more to support these women?
I think there could be more work done, like in terms of security. I know, for example, we had a case a few years ago where, related to public transport, it was people will reduce mobility, mobility reduite, where they have to take buses to go around because they have they could people with disabilities, for example. So we had a case a few years ago where the driver was sexually assaulting some of the women, like using that service. So from our experience with that, it's just that there's just no, I guess they're not willing to make the proper changes or increase more security, make this safe, those spaces, those public spaces more safe. I just think that from the government or those institutions that there's just a lack of urgency.
That was Delphine Belzy speaking with an expert from Calax. A 20-year-old man crashed into a staircase of a private residence in La Salle last night. The driver lost control of his vehicle before colliding with two stationary cars and ended up on a concrete staircase of a residence. The driver and a 22-year-old female passenger suffered minor injuries. One hypothesis is that speed was involved. In arts news, Montreal's Patrick Watson released three new songs, and this one stays a little bit from his pop rock roots. Chloe Chauté-Lézier has all the details for us.
C'est tout son passage, la falta que me fazes, o son dos teus murmúrios, o lugar dos teus beijos.
Yesterday, Patrick Watson released a new EP called A Mermaid in Lisbon in collaboration with the Portuguese vocalist Teresa Salgueiro and the Grammy Award-winning Ataca Quartet from New York. The release contains two songs in Portuguese and English and one purely instrumental. For this composition, Watson experimented with electroacoustic sounds and modular sounds overlapping with the strings of the Ataca Quartet. He said he had been digging into these styles of music creation, especially in the last year, and the third song of this EP, Can't Stop Staring at the Sun, is a celebration of all the pieces that have inspired him lately. It's his first collaboration with Teresa Salgueiro from the fado pop group Madre Deus. He discovered her in the movie Lisbon Story by Ben Bendas and had been looking forward to a chance to collaborate with her since then. Songwriter is planning to finally start touring again later this year. He recently announced a performance at Massey Hall in Toronto for mid-December, which will also make up for a cancelled show in Danforth back in April 2020. This summer, the songs from the Montreal composer will be featured in a show by Ballet Jazz de Montréal as part of the Danse Danse Festival. And as we continue to move through deconfinement, more artists are announcing shows in Montreal. We're all looking forward to a few festivals again this summer. Yesterday, the Australian Courtney Barnett announced her upcoming North American tour. She'll be in Montreal February 11th.
A plane was found at Folsom Lake in California a few days ago. It turns out to be from a 1986 crash. Seaflow system worker found the plane, and they initially thought the plane was one involved in a 1965 crash in which the pilot and three passengers were killed. They thought the plane matched the description of the one that crashed on New Year's Day 1965, killing the pilot and three passengers on board. The police confirmed that the plane was instead related to a 1986 non-fatal crash. It may look sunny now, but expect shower to begin around 5 p.m., thunderstorm in the forecast on a Saturday, but Sunday looks beautiful with sunshine on a high of 27, just in time for Father's Day. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Una Barrett.